Accession number 31444, Mr. Fred Gosling, Reel 5. Now, after the gunnery course, that finishes in December 58, and then you join HMS Belfast. Now, what was the background to you joining there?
Well, the Belfast, we was advanced crew. So many people went down there with me. And we went as an advanced crew there to the Belfast in Devonport. And we was billeted in Jago's Mansion, HMS Drake, they call it Jago's Mansion. And what it was, we went out, we was with the dockyard mateys, helping to get the ship ready. All it was just red lead and rust when we joined it.
So what were you doing? What exactly did that mean?
That all we've done, we're doing chipping, painting, sanding, everything, you know, like getting the ship ready for when the crew come on and that. It was just, as it come out the dockyard, you know, from Scotland and that, just rust and all that.
So how did you chip, what did you actually do?
Well, you had windy hammers, what they call windy hammers. They're on a hose pipe. And when you press them, it's a deck. There's a little lever thing inside, hits a deck, and it chips all the rust and that off to the metal and that.
Anything else? So chipping, rust, what else?
Yeah, then you was painting and all that, you know, scrubbing, wire scrubbing, rails, everything, wires, everything.
Sounds like hard work.
It was, yeah. Well, when we first got down here, the gun turrets were on the jetty, the 6-inch gun turrets. It was just like, it looked like an aircraft carrier, look at it at first. Then you look to see the 6-inch turrets on the jetty and that. But that was the working up to get it ready, prepared and that for when it commissioned and that.
Now, were you joining as a gun layer armourer then?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, you still joined that, but you go as a seaman, you know, like the gunnery is a sideline in the
navy. So were you able seaman or
able seaman.
Now, so what did you think of her when you got her chipped away and ready?
It was a bit of a shock to see it, to join a ship like that, you know, coming off of small boats, then going onto a cruiser.
In what way? Tell us about, it is big, I mean, we can see it now, but what did you think of the size when you first joined her?
Well, it was a bit of a shock. I was on a carrier and that, but to look at the cruiser and that, without no armour on, it looked a bit strange at first, until it started gradually being built up and built up. As you got on and that, then all of a sudden it just come into shape and that, as a cruiser and that. Well, it was the first time I seen the cruiser.
Now, so what happened then? So you're with the advanced party.
Yeah. Then we carried on until the ship was ready. And then...
How long did that take, about?
Oh, bloody months and months. I've got it in the book here. Go and look at it.
We just looked in the book, and it took until May, you know, when she was commissioned.
When she commissioned. So
was there a commissioning ceremony? Do you remember that?
Yeah, there was a commissioning ceremony on the jetty itself.
And what was it? What do you remember of it?
Well, they done the captain give a speech to all the crew and that, telling them, you know, what was happening with the ship and all that, and welcoming and all that. Then you had a service on the quarterdeck and that, with the chaplain and that, blessing the ship and that. Because you had, like, the silver bell on it and all that, and they used that most of the time.
Now, there was a Devonport Navy Day. What was a Navy Day like? Do you remember?
Navy Days is when, like, you get... The visitors come round, and they come onto the ship and that, you know, like, if you're duty, you show the people around the ship and that, you know, then answer questions, whatever they ask, your gunnery, anything like that. No boats, anything.
Did the sailors enjoy them, or is it just a nuisance?
Sometimes it's good, sometimes it ain't. You know, if you're on watch, you've got to keep, you know, you're there on the go all the time, you know, with the visitors and all that. But usually it's pretty good, because you get the kids running around asking questions and that. And they seem to enjoy it, the kids and that. Never been on ships in their lives.
Now, what about the sea trials? What do they mean?
Sea trials, when you go out, you trial your engines and all that. At slow speeds, at fast speeds. And we had a lot of trouble with the boilers when we first went out. The boilers kept on breaking down, so we had to keep on coming back in a lot of times.
Were you all aware of that?
No, we don't know. Look, we're told, you know, when we're on the trials and it, but you do your seaman's duties, you know, you're doing damage control, everything's like that. Everything has to work in one, like, the whole ship has to work as one. You, like, seamen and, like, you probably have stokers with you. You'll do damage control as though the ship's got a hole in it and all that. You know, the ship's on fire. What you have to do, put fires out.
So it's working up as well?
Yeah, it's a working up trial. So, you know, to get the ship up to its standard.
Now, what about your, what was your mess deck like? Do you remember which one it was?
The mess deck, I had the foreign mess deck. Under A turret. It's right next to the cable lock and the cells.
Now, what, can you describe it? It might even be still there now, although it has changed a lot. But
oh, it's still there, but I've seen it now, and it's changed. They put the old bunks back on there. We had bunk beds and the hammocks on there. When they had, on the new refit, there's bunk beds you put up on chains. Then in the daytime, you load them down, and it was a bench, like a seat, a sofa, where you sat on. But now they've gone back to the old days.
And how crowded was the forest? What was it like in there when you were all in there?
Well, it was a very big mess. You know, it covers the whole width of the ship. And I can't remember how many people in there, but I suppose you've got about 20 or 30 people in the mess. You've got tables, stools, you know, which sit on, isn't it?
And what did you think of bunks as compared to hammocks, say?
Bunks were... It was all right, and when it was calm, it was rough. You had to hang on to something, because you're rolling in and out of them.
Now, what was your, I don't know whether it's action stations or cruising station, what was your role on the ship?
My,
I mean, you were an able seaman, but
yeah.
What were you?
On action station, I was sent a gun layer on A turret.
Now, tell me about that.
Well, that's for bombardment. If you're bombarding that, you're in the big turret, the first turret on the forecastle, on A turret, and there's 18 people in the turret.
So what does everybody do?
Well, you got a breech worker for each gun, and there were three guns. So you've got three breech workers. You've got two rammers on each gun, what ram the shell and cordite up. And you've got a bloke that works the cordite hoist. The breech worker works the shell hoist. He'll pull the thing and the shell comes down. Where I was sitting, it used to pass me, the shell. I was being sent a gun now, you're facing the crew. The other two are facing, looking at the gun barrels themselves. But I was facing the crew and watching them working it. Then you had the officer and like we had a coxswain bloke, a chief petty officer in the turret, who said, look through the old glass at the top. But it was all controlled by the director. Yeah, up on the bridge, there was a big director up above the bridge. And that used to control the guns, but you used to follow, you to move your barrels and that. You had pointers, you had to follow pointers. Yeah, you had like a big steering wheel. And what you do, as they wanted to do the range, if it went up or down, the pointer used to move, you just had to keep a point onto the pointer. Then, like, once the gun fired, once you was on, you say, gun layer on, those are close interceptors on the guns, and you used to hear ding, ding, then the guns used to fire, you know. Then you got a lever and a foot lever, where you could pull it and the barrels go up and down quick, automatic, without you winding the handle.
And was it an easy job? I mean, was that reasonably easy?
Oh,
I mean,
yeah.
It sounds reasonably easy, but that doesn't mean it is.
Yeah, it was easy, good. All you had to do was keep pointer on pointer. And the same as a train, you had two trains in the turret. They all had to do keep pointer on which moved the turret by following the pointers of the director.
Now, what was it like when it fired? I mean, how bad was it?
It was quiet, pretty quiet. All you got more, anything, was the recoil, the hiss of the recoil, the air pushing, like, the smoke and the cordite out of it. But it was just like a thump, if you was heard it. But if you was outside, it was louder. because you had blowout panels on the side of the, on each turret. There's blowout panels. Because if it is as a hit, the panels blow out. There wasn't much bang in there, you know, like just a thump.
Now, so that was your job. You were a turret, 6-inch centigun layer.
Yeah, that's any, for bombardment.
Any other
for repel aircraft, I had to run from the forecastle right down to near enough the stern, go up two flights of stairs, then get in a CRBFD, and I was to be your aimer on a CRBFD.
Now, was that, when would you do that? Was that your action set?
That was repel aircraft.
Is that a different thing? Or?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Cause you've got AA, and like you've got bombardment and AA.
Now, so what was that? Which Bofors was it again?
Well, it's Bofors and 4-inch. You controlled the 4-inch and Bofors.
So you controlled both?
Yeah. Well, they could control themselves, but if you had, like, on the CRBFD, you had a radar, it's only a little dish. And if you got the target and you locked on your director, the guns could lock on with your director, and as you moved your director, the guns would move with you. Whatever you done, the guns would do it. If you were elevating on your joystick you got, the barrels would go up and down, whatever you done. See, on your director you've got a spot and a circle. The spot you put on the plane and the circle is the barrel, where the barrel's aiming at. So they call it aim off. You know, so as you fire, so that's the barrels firing ahead of the spot, you know, for letting the plane fly into it.
That sounds slightly more difficult, actually, is it? Or
it's not really, no. See, you've got an officer sits behind you, or you look through your binoculars into this gun sight with your red spot and circle. The gunnery officer sits behind you, and he tells when the range is there. So if you say, aim a target, he'll lock it on. He'll say range, then that's when you fire. He'll go right in range, open fire, and he'll hit you on the head with the mic on your helmet to tell you to shoot. Then all you do is sit, squeeze the trigger, hold the trigger, and the gun crew do the rest. They do all the loading and that, and once they shut the interceptor on their guns, it'll fire, because you've got your hand on the trigger. You're firing it from your director, and that, as soon as they hit their interceptor, they're going to go.
So, that was your anti-aircraft role.
Yeah, yeah.
What happens if you're attacked on both? If you see what I mean.
What do you mean on both?
Well, if there was a ship there threatening you and an aircraft.
They take the most dangerous, I suppose.
So you didn't have a duplicate? There's no one else?
No, they're just the crews for each guns and turrets, isn't it?
Now, so anything else? Any other role? Were you on a damage control party or anything? Or was
no,
that
I was. I was we was like gunner's party. We looked after the guns and all that. You know.
Well, tell us a bit about gun maintenance.
Well, gun maintenance, you had the quarter armourers used to do that. They used to drop the breeches out and that. We used to do like what they call sponging out.
Now, how do you do that?
You got like, it's like a rod with a big brush on it. What you do, when you open your breech, you lower the barrel down, you just keep pushing the rod right through until you see the bore, like you look at the bore in the barrel. Yeah, make sure it's clean as anything.
Oh, that's all you do?
Yeah.
Any other oiling or anything?
Well, you grease it inside the barrel, don't it? But most of your job's keeping the guns clean. You know, like the ends of them. But then recloth, you have to shine the end of the barrel. So you know, it looks nice and tiddly.
Now, so anything you remember about the working up exercises?
Working up, it was all damage control, shutting doors, you know, like if they say, once you go to sea, they say you're under attack, you shut all damage control, all the doors, all the tight doors. So, like, if you have a hit in that, you won't sink straight away in it. Magazines, the crews of magazines were mostly like chinkies, you know, worked in the laundry. They just shove them down there with a mat low and that, then lock them in. So they couldn't run out, I suppose.
So you seem to have been doing that. You leave home waters, you're around Plymouth and things. Anything you remember about that early period?
Not really. Most of the time, you're working up all the time. You're anchoring out, you're lowering boats. everything you had to do with seamanship or mechanical stuff, they kept you going. We'd done gunnery exercises down there, you know, testing your guns and all that to make sure they're accurate and all that.
And it all went well?
Yes, everything, you know, perfect. Only the boilers.
Any characters you're aware of in this early time on the... Any, you know, either mates or friends, rather not mates, it's wrong, you know, but...
Oh, mates and that, yeah. Oh,
any
yeah,
characters?
Oh,
think?
Plenty of characters, Ed. Look, my mate up York, up in Liverpool, Kenny, you know. He's a right bloody comedian.
Kenny who?
Kenny Ashley.
So what was he like?
Oh, he's a nutcase. Really nutty. He can make anybody laugh. The things he comes out with, being a right scouser, mate. He's a right comedian. Well, we still meet up there when we have the association, mate. Oh, he comes down here, but he's a comedian.
Any others? That, cause, you know, just characters that you remember.
Well, we had Mick Bellini. He was a boxer. We used to go ashore with him and that. And the Yanks always used to pick on him because he was small in Hong Kong. But he could stand up himself. He fought for the Navy, innit? You know, he boxed him.
And what was he like as a bloke?
As a bloke, all right, good bloke, you know. He was a coloured bloke, not coloured, you know, like, sort of coloured. But, you know, he's one of the good blokes, you know. You could have a good laugh with the people, innit?
Any other particular friends or...?
Well, I've got two mates. Well, one just died, two twins. Like, they're brothers, innit? Or, you know, shad bolts. We was out there, they caught a shark when we was out in Singapore. They sold it to the Chinese on board for the shark soup, and they made well out of it.
Now, what about the leading seamen and the killicks or whatever you call it, you know, and the petty officers? What were they like? Much
good. They all mixed in very well. See, like the gunners' party and that. You had gunnery officers. But that's why with Bagley, he was a gunnery officer down in Whale Island.
You mentioned him. That's right.
Then when he come on board, he'd. Gunnery officer on the ship, but he turned out nice. Yeah, you know, he was much different than what he was on the parade ground. Because yeah, I suppose working with the blokes and that, he's perfect.
What were the officers generally good?
Yeah, except for the commander.
Who was that?
Rappard, David Rappard.
And what was wrong with him?
Oh, he was a bastard. He made you work day and night. They used to call us the Altmark at sea.
Why?
Well, he forever painting. It don't matter if you were seeing that, any rust you painted. Anything moved got painted. He was a commander, Rappard.
I mean, was he unpleasant or was it just that's what he had to do?
No, he was unpleasant, really unpleasant. But I've seen him since and he's changed now, you know, because you don't have to call him sir, that. You can call him Mr. What you like. Yeah, but he was a real bad one. As a commander.
What about the captain?
Captain, very good.
Do you remember his name?
Wilkinson. He was good.
What was good about him?
Well, he was the first bloke we had on the ship and that. And you know, like, he was a bloke who was for the mean and that. Then we had, I think, the Admiral was Leffenhew.
So it's John Wilkinson?
Yeah.
And the Admiral was...
I think Leffenhew.
Leffenhew.
Yeah.
And what was he like?
He was good. Very good.
In what way? I mean, do you see what I mean? They can't get much from that.
Well, most of the time, he went from ship to ship, though he was like the flagship and that. He used to go on to other ships and that, you know, tour around them, just to let yourself be known, you know, like other admirals just hide away, don't they?
So he was available. You saw a fair bit of him.
Yeah, for everybody, you know, like he'd go on all the ships out there, anybody.
Right. So then, what happens next? Actually, you start off in August, but it's more boiler trouble.
Yeah.
Then you go out to get on your foreign commission. What do you remember of that?
On the foreign commission, the first place you went was Malta.
Now, on the way, there's a bit of a kerfuffle about a wreckage. Do you remember that, or is it?
Yeah, there was a report that a Vulcan bomber had come down. Now, it crashed into the sea, and it. I think the bombers were touching on trolls. But we went out there, and when we got to the place where it's supposed to be, there was a dead whale. Somebody'd see a whale, and they thought that was part of the fuselage. But we couldn't find nothing of it, and I don't know what happened. Nobody said nothing about the bomber after that, if it was found or anything.
So, what about Gibraltar first, was it? Or, you seem to be Gibraltar.
Yeah, Gibraltar. Yeah, just Gibraltar. But we weren't there long.
Anything happened there?
No. You don't. On to Malta then.
Now, were you based at Malta?
No.
Were you doing a work up there?
We'd done a work up there on the way out. Most of that was gunnery.
Now, tell me about the type of gunnery exercises you did.
We used to go out shooting at drogues, what they call drogues. The planes it's like a sleeve. If you see on airports and that, they've got a sleeve what blows in the wind.
Like a windsock.
Yeah, that's it, like a windsock. They used to fire at them. But if you got too near the plane, they used to let it go. You know, what we used to do when you was aimers, you used to go along the wire and you find a shackle where they used to shackle in the windsock. And we used to fire for that. And the pilot used to always release it because he thought we were too close to it. And you could see it. You could see when they let go because it come down straight. Instead of float down, it's come down straight. But sometimes we used to blow them out of the sky, didn't it? And they had imitated a lot of plane drogues. Like throwing a plane in it.
What about the main element? Did you practice with that as well?
The 6-inch and all that, yeah.
What would you fire up there?
What you do, you go right out and there's not any island, you'd have an army spotter go ashore. Now, you wouldn't see the island. You used to go out there, and the army spotter used to go there, and used to fire so many rounds to warm your barrels up. Now, the army spotter used to, you know, say, like, you'd say firing for effect. Now, that's when your barrels are warmed up and it. Then the army spotter used to tell you, you go, they used to, like, used to mark a cross there or something, and used to fire like blind at this cross. And he'll either say short 100 or over 200, and you drop down. Then he used to say straddle. If he was it, he'd go straddle. But if he's short, he'd go short 100 or up 400 and all that.
So he's practicing shore bombardment.
Yeah, yeah. It's the place you couldn't see it. Because you was over the horizon firing at it.
Anything about Malta? Did you get ashore?
Oh, Malta, yeah. We got ashore there, all right.
What was it like?
Very good. Down the gut. That was a place where it was all bars and women.
And so what next then? You seem to go to Aden.
Aden, yeah. That was only a stopping off point there. Aden.
So where are you heading to now? We
was heading out to the Far East, going towards Singapore.
Now, anything about the voyage, you know?
When we went through the Suez, the convoy waits for you, and they let the warship lead first. If there's any warships, they have to wait. Then you lead the convoy through it. It takes enough a day to get through there. You pick up your pilot and put the lights on the bows and that. Then you have a gully man come on board. He does all the tricks with chickens and it. Does tricks, everything, bloody thing.
So through the Suez Canal, then what?
Then it's straight on to Singapore, I think it was, wasn't it? In the book.
Via Aden to Singapore. You get there 20th of October. Hmm. Anything else about the voyage?
I can't think, not really. You do work up all the way through, you know, you're on the go all the time, you know, doing different things, shooting at cans in the water and that, just to make sure everything's all right.
Now, there seems to have been some sort of variety show that you did just before getting there.
Oh, the Sod's Opera.
Yeah, Belfast Bunglers, they call it, variety show.
Well, every ship has a Sod's Opera when you're at sea and that for a long time. You get blokes dressed up as women doing can-can and comedians, skiffle groups, and, you know, bands playing and all that.
I mean, were they any good? You know.
Oh, yeah. Very. If you could put them on the Palladium, that, I'll tell you what, It would be funny. But they're right on the knuckle and all that, you know.
So, so what happened when you got to Singapore? What do you think of it?
Singapore weren't too bad. We adopted.
You hadn't been out there before, had you?
No. We got warned, you know, where you could go, where you couldn't go. In Singapore itself, you know, they was told away, stay away from the red light districts and all that. But we were near, was it Sambawang? I think it was most of the time where the naval base was.
So what you do there? Did you go ashore?
Oh yeah, yeah, went ashore and that. Had a look around the place.
Was it good?
Well, you know, not. It's dirty in places, well, like some places are, you know. Dirty places are clean than others.
And then on to Hong Kong.
Yeah.
That's in November.
Yeah.
And what happened when you got to Hong Kong?
That's the way, like, you'd go alongside and that. And you stay there for most of the time doing nothing and that, you know, just. It's like a break for you. We went to the breweries a couple of times. That used to be the old gag, that one. Have a brewery run, freebies, over by Kowloon. He said, right, and asked if you could go round the brewery to have a look. Never been to a brewery before, and they said, oh yeah, come round. Sam McGill's, I think that was, the brewery.
So what was it like?
Hong Kong, beautiful place. Very nice.
No, I mean the brewery, was it? I mean,
oh, the brewery.
Did you get drunk or
oh, yeah, you could drink as much as you like. They should take you round and show you the place, but you've been round before. And you used to say to them, look, well, we've seen this, and they go, they'll take you in drinking then. But we was out there, we'd done two Christmases in Hong Kong.
That's where you were going to be based, were you?
No, Singapore was our base.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Right.
But we'd done two Christmases out there by cruise. Well, we went other places besides that, then come back to Hong Kong.
So what happened on that first cruise, yeah?
Well, it's more of a break, you was alongside, you know. Then you'd done, like, your painting and all that. We had women's side party.
Tell me about them, because we heard quite a bit about them from a couple of other people.
No, Jenny and the side party.
What were they like?
Oh, they were good, hard workers. They used to work like anything, them. We had a side party of our own, but it was the women done, the ship's side.
And they painted it?
Yeah, they'd done it with rollers, everything. They could do it in a day, them, the women.
Did they do a good job?
Yeah, of course. Yeah. Every time we used to go back there, they was there, ready to do the painting.